You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Father, we thank you for today. We ask that your blessing will come upon us as we share your Word. Let there be life that will flow out of your Word. Let there be healing that will flow out of your Word. And miracles begin to happen. Raise us to a level where it requires to be. And do exceedingly abundantly according to your word. We praise you, we love you, we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to request you to go to your Bible. We shall begin with two texts of scripture. The first one is in Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verses number 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Another version says, teaching them to obey. Instead of teaching them to observe, it says, teaching them to obey. Go with me again to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verses 1 to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There is a message that God has given me around this time, a message to call the children of God to their next level of obedience. Their next level of obedience. And this is basically how it works according to Scripture. When you rise to your next level of obedience, there are things that begin to happen. Before you get to that next level of obedience, you just keep on claiming them. You just keep on striving and struggling to get them. But when you get to your next level of obedience, there are things that just begin to happen. So follow me as we go through this together. Exodus 19 and verses 5, write it down. God spoke to Israel and he said, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for the earth is mine. God was telling Israel that I want to make you peculiar. I want to make you unique. Remember Peter writing to us, he said you are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, that you may show forth the presence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So like Israel, we are a peculiar people. But God was calling Israel to that level of peculiarity. And he told them the only thing that is going to help you is obedience. If you shall obey my voice indeed, and the things I command you to do, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me amongst all the nations of the earth. Recently, I had an opportunity to go to South Africa. I was attending a conference and ministering at a conference. 7-8 nations were represented there. And I came across some of the things that fascinated me. And two of them were dogs. I visited a family, and the head of the house, a friend of mine, Pastor Robbie, called the dog by name, and the dog came. One, I was surprised that the dog had a name. Two, that it could come. And so the dog came. And so he commanded the dog to sit down. And it sat. And he commanded it to go. And it went. And I said, wow, this dog knows English. And then I visited another family of Kevin and Kitty. In this family, they also had a dog. Now, this one was a strange dog. This dog could understand three languages, Afrikaans, Zulu, and English. And it was in charge of the cows they had on their ranch. And I said, wow, it knows three languages, this dog, and it has responsibility in its mind. And I was surprised. I visited another family. And this one is a family of the Whiteheads, the Mr. and Mrs. Whitehead. And this one really freaked me out. He said, James, sit down. So I sat. And he called the dog. And the dog came. And he said, watch this. And so he got out his harmonica. And he began to play. And the dog stood on two legs. And it began to sing. And I said, wow. And then, of course, on that very trip, I also came across a parrot. Now, it was my very first time in life to come that close to a parrot. This parrot, I think it was bitter, or it had a spirit of unforgiveness or depression. Because it kept on plucking off its feathers, you know. And the mother of the home was saying, we don't know why it does that. And then she said, James, watch this. And so she tried to disturb this parrot. And the parrot said, stop it, stop it. And I said, wow, it can speak English. But my understanding of all that I've just told you is that these different creatures have been trained to obey. These different creatures have been trained to obey, trained to do whatever they do. And because they have grasped and embraced this theme of obedience, they are able to come that far. And we human beings are like that. God created us with a capacity to obey Him, with an ability to obey Him. And as we expand that ability, there are things we begin to be able to do that we couldn't do before. When God called us, He called us to Himself. He called us unto obedience. According to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2, He called us unto obedience and into obedience. Of course, before He called us, we did many silly things. Bible declares in Acts 17:30, the days of ignorance, God winked at them. But now He commands all people to repent. In other words, to turn, to change their minds and to turn in their ways and to do the right thing. Now, what is really obedience? I want you to write down Isaiah 1 and verses 19, where God says, if thou shalt be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Obedience is not only implementing an instruction, but it goes hand in hand with willingness. If there is no willingness in the equation, it's not yet obedience. Did you get that? It must be followed with willingness. He says, if thou shalt be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. There are those believers who are at the stage of being soldiers in the Lord. That means whatever He commands them to do, they will do. But in one way or another, they don't have that willingness together. God is calling us to grow into a level of being willing and being obedient to do whatever He will call us to do. And to me, the climax of obedience as you grow in the Lord is when you reach to this level where you say, Lord, whatever, however, wherever, and whenever. I will say it again. Whatever, however, whenever, and wherever, I will do whatever you tell me to do. Did you get that? And no matter how God tells it to you, no matter when God tells it to you, no matter what it is that God is telling you to do, when you attain to that level of willingness and obedience, that's when you have grown in the full stature of Christ and doing what God has called you to do. Yeah. Matthew 16 and verses 24, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, God is calling us to be readily available, readily willing to take up our crosses and follow the Lord. Now listen to this. In the Old Testament, every king and every general in the army, God gave them a battle to fight. And the reason he gave them a battle to fight is because there are things that God wanted to happen in the kingdom and in their lives. For every call, there was a battle. And that's how it works in our lives. Always God will present a task before you, a job before you, a project before you, something to be done, something that will challenge your faith, something that will challenge your commitment to God, something that will place before you. But it's as you obey God and follow through his instructions that he has given you, that many of the things that God has spoken to you will come to pass. And I'll give you examples in the Old Testament. The first person we're going to look at is Joshua. Joshua is fighting the battles of the Lord. And this is in Exodus chapter 17. The Amalekites are attacking the children of Israel. The Bible declares Moses goes to the mountain and his hands are held by Hur and Aaron. And he keeps on fighting. Joshua keeps on fighting. And he overcomes them. And God makes a declaration that I'm swearing unto you that I'm going to obliterate the rest of the Amalekites from the face of the earth. And one day it's going to come to pass. And so Joshua is always ready to fight the battles of the Lord and is obedient. But there comes another king after many years to complete this battle. And the name of this king was Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15. God speaks unto Saul and he said, I chose you and anointed you to be the king in Israel. But I want you to fight this battle for me. Not for you, but for me. Go to Amalek, kill everything. Kill the king, the men and the women, the boys and the girls, and all their beasts. Kill everything. And the Bible declares that Saul goes there and he does what he desires. He spares Agag, the king. He spares the fatlings. And so everything is messed up by his disobedience. And God comes back and says, I have rejected you. What are we learning from this? Is that whenever you say, Lord, let your kingdom come, God says, I have a battle for you. Yeah. You want my kingdom to come? I have a battle for you. Yeah. I have a challenge for you. I have a situation for you. Yeah. If you handle it my way and you obey me in every way, my kingdom is going to come. When you pray and say, Lord, I want to go to the next level of the anointing, of my calling God, of my ability, of my gifting in God, God says, I have a battle for you. I have a task for you. If you handle it my way and fight it my way and pursue it my way, I bring you to that desired heaven that you have in your heart. Basically, that is how it works again and again. And we have a lot to learn from Jesus Christ, how he walked in obedience according to Scripture. Go with me, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading from verses number 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of the servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death unto the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. In this text lies the obedience chain of Jesus Christ. And there are three stages you're going to realize how Jesus obeyed the Father in his lifetime. How Jesus obeyed the Father. The first instance is when Jesus chose to become man. It was a step. It wasn't mandatory. It wasn't obligatory, if you may say that. It wasn't like God did not command him. Because all over history, God has never been a dictator. God is a gentleman. God gives you a choice. And so God gave Jesus a choice. And he said, would you like to go? Actually, he questions. He asks a question in the conference of heaven. In Isaiah 6 and verses 8. Who shall go for us? And Jesus said, I will go. And so Jesus is incarnated. He becomes man. Now it took a lot of obedience for Jesus, who was God, You remember when he's praying in John chapter 17, he said, give me the glory I had before I came. He used to be in that glory, the realm of divinity, the realm of the supernatural, the realm of God, the Godhead. And he was translated into being a human being. He took a lot of obedience. If you want to understand it, I want you to be given a choice to become a pig. A pig in the forest or in the woodland of Texas. That means you won't need your cosmetics anymore. That means your wardrobe will be of no use anymore. And so that means you will take the winter as it comes. You have no jackets. Jesus came from that high class of beings. And he condescended. He abased himself to the level of humanity. That was obedience. Another example. Say you are the father of the home, the mother of the home. And God gave you a choice and said, I want you to become the baby of the home. That means that your old girls and boys are going to take care of you. Picture yourself as your girls and boys put pampers around you. And whatever you desire, they don't want because they don't have time. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? And then you become a disturbance in their lives. That's what Jesus became. He fell from that level of glory to this level of glory. Step number one of his obedience. Step number two is when he was alive, he obeyed God all the way. Actually, in John, he says, as I see my father do, I do. As I hear my father say, I say. Every bit, he obeyed God. He's a man who had no sin. Level of obedience in the life of Jesus. The third level was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That is when he said, Father, if you are willing, let this cup be taken away from me. But not as I will, but as you will. His willingness and his commitment was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The cross, Golgotha, was just a completion of his obedience. He had already obeyed and relinquished all his choices and rights unto God, that the will of God may be done in his life. And I literally believe that even us as children of God, God takes us into these different levels of obedience. And there are three major levels of obedience at work in the church today with the children of God. The first one is what I call the child's obedience. Because you are a child of God, your connection with God the Father is a connection of obedience. You obey him because you are a child. He commands and he declares because he's the Father. So your relationship is enriched by your obedience. Because you are a child of God, you have no choice. Whenever he speaks, you obey. Whatever is written in his word, you obey. Because you are a child of God. That's the first level, the child's obedience. This one is the one that enriches your relationship with the Father. You can worship more freely. You can praise him more freely. You can enjoy all the blessings of heaven. The Spirit of God keeps on filling you because of that relationship that is enriched with your obedience. Another thing tagged to the child's obedience are the blessings in life. He says, if you're willing and obedient, shall eat of the good of the land. Many of the things that the world is chasing for or looking for is gravitated towards those who are in obedience to God. Because God owns everything. And the moment he sees his child, his son or daughter, in obedience with him, he commands whatever they need to come his way or her way. Are you still following me? So that means they have answers for their questions. That means they have solutions for their problems. That means there are times when their mountains are going to move out of their way. Why? Because they have a relationship that is enriched with obedience with the Father. Their child's obedience. The second level of obedience in the life of a believer is what I call the servant's obedience. This is the one that tags you to authority. Bible declares in James 4 and verses 7, submit to God and do what? And resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. And many of us have it upside down. We want to resist the devil before we submit to God. But submission comes first. Obedience to God comes first. And then we can resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. There is a story in Luke chapter 7 of the Roman centurion. This Roman centurion has a sick servant. And he sends the Pharisees, because he has built for them a synagogue, to go and call Jesus, that Jesus may come and heal the servant. And Jesus listens to them, and he said, yes, I'm going to come and heal his servant. But before he comes into the house of this Roman centurion, the Roman centurion says, Master, I'm not worthy that you may enter under the roof of my house. But he says, I'm also a man in authority and under authority. I have servants under me. I tell one to go, and they go. And another one to come, and they come. And another one do this, and they do that. And then he says, Jesus, speak a word, and my servant will be well. And Jesus said, I've not seen such faith in Israel, not anywhere, ever. And so the servant of this man is totally healed. But you have to learn how obedience works. Obedience tags you to authority. The more obedient you are to God, the more authority you command in the realm of the Spirit. That's why you see Jesus commanding things and commanding stuff. And the more the obedient the apostles were, the more they begin to command these devils to get out of their way. So this servant's authority, servant's obedience tags you to authority. Did you get that? Level number 3 is what I call the deliverer's obedience. The deliverer's obedience. This is the obedience that tags you to signs and wonders. Why do I call it the deliverer's obedience? Because this is obedience that is so instantaneous that it has no question. In many times, even as they obey God, the people in this realm, they look and seem and appear irrational. But as long as they have heard from the Lord, what will result is a miracle. Somebody has said the ridiculous precedes the miraculous. The ridiculous precedes the miraculous. It's so crude that it doesn't seem appealing. It is not appealing, but these people are willing to obey God no matter what. I want to give an example. Moses, by the Red Sea, the armies are coming from behind them. That is Exodus chapter 14. By the Red Sea, the armies are coming from behind them. And all God says, stretch your rod. Now, what has the rod got to do with water in the sea? The rod doesn't understand Archimedes' principle or the law of flotation. But you see, Moses is so obedient. He said, if God says it, he's going to work for me. And he doesn't question. And he said, he stretches his hand and the waters are parted. And you're going to see it in the lives of these many deliverers in the Bible. And as they operate in signs and wonders, all it takes is for God to give them an instruction. However simple it is, however silly it is, they will implement it. And it results into signs and wonders. Jesus says, as I see my Father do, I do. What does he do? In John chapter 9, he goes and he meets a blind man. And he spits on the ground. He mixes the spittle with the clay and places it on the eyes. Everybody says that's irrational. But according to a man who is in obedience to God, in the realm of a deliverer, this is going to result into a miracle. And you're going to see cases of that kind many times. Jesus has the lunch of a little boy. It's over 5,000 people, men alone. Maybe another 20,000 all added together. It's the lunch of a little boy. The Bible declares 2 fish, 5 loaves and 2 fish, just enough for this little boy. And Jesus said, Father, I will obey you. What I see my Father do is what I do. And so he blesses it before the Father. It multiplies, and there is a balance of 12 baskets. In this realm of deliverers, of signs and wonders, all it takes them is to obey God no matter what. Even when it's illogical or irrational, they are willing to obey God. And you know what? God wants us to grow through all these levels. The level of a child's obedience, the level of a servant's obedience, and the level of a deliverer's obedience. And on our pathway to obedience, as we learn obedience, there are many stumbling blocks on the way. And I'm going to cite a few of them. One of them is our wild, sinful nature. Our wild, sinful nature. Whenever you want to grow in obedience to God, this flesh will keep on pulling you down. But we need to learn how to master the flesh and go on with obedience to God. Another thing as a stumbling block on our pathway to obedience is fear. Some of us are held back by fear. Fear for rejection. Fear for shame. At times, fear for our lives. Some of us have a fear for our peers. What do they think about me? And so because of that, you are held back. You don't obey God simply because you fear to be rejected or looked down upon. Another thing that holds us back is negative influence of others who live in disobedience. Everywhere where you are, in your community, in your place of work, there are other people living in disobedience. And that influence has a way of negatively affecting you, affecting you so that you may not obey God the way he requires you to obey him. Go with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, I'm reading from verses number 14. He says, cast in thy lot among us. Let's pick it from verses number 10. Proverbs chapter 1 and verses number 10. My son, if sin has enticed thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lack privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one pass. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. He's saying that those who want to negatively influence your obedience, don't walk in their path. Proverbs 4 and verses 14, another scripture. Proverbs 4 and verses 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. These ones who are going to call you aside, and they are going to tell you, you know, I know you go to church. I know you love the Lord. But what you are going through, this is what I advise you to do. This is what I did. And in a way, they are influencing you against doing what God would love you to do. He says in verses number 15, avoid them. Pass not by them. Turn away from them and pass away. And follow God and obey God in whatever he calls you to do. Another thing that is going to be a stumbling block to in our pathway of obedience is what I call the world views. And they don't affect us much in the third world, but they do so much in the Western world. There are many world views now floating on television, in the news, and all around us. World views like relativism. Relativism say it is relative. There's no absolutes. You can't be right, you can't be wrong. It's up to you. It's the way you look at things. And so that thing is permeating into our minds slowly and stealthily. Into our society. And so you also come to a place where what was your great convictions, you no longer hold on much to them. Because of the effect of that kind of world view. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. No, whatever is written in the word is the truth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Another world view like pragmatism. Pragmatism says, if it works, then do it. They have sayings like, the end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. If it works, then we shall go for it. No, God doesn't teach us that way. Only what he has prescribed for us in his word is what should work for us. Any other avenue is a wide way that leads to hell. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? And so we need to watch that. Another worldview is what they call hedonism. Hedonism is all sensual. Makes you feel happy. Makes you feel nice. And many people are building their lives around them. Unfortunately, some of the children of God are also building their lives around things that are sensual. Things that make them happy. God has not called us only to be happy. He's called us to be righteous. He's called us to remain true to the cause of the kingdom of God. To remain true to the cross. And so we need to watch those. They are a great stumbling block to our obedience. Another one is the seemingly hard instruction. Before long, as you walk with the Lord, God is going to give you a seemingly hard instruction. Pastor just said it before I came on. If any vision, if you can do it, is not of the Lord. Check again. The vision that is so impossible, most likely that is from the Lord. But even with the instructions that we receive from the Lord, the things God wants us to do for him, they're going to be very, very hard. And how many of you know that many people are turned away because it appears hard. It sounds hard. It sounds impossible. And they wouldn't obey God because simply it sounds hard. Remember the other day in Genesis 22 when God comes to Abraham and said, I want Isaac your son. Was it God? Yes, it was. Was God requiring Abraham to do that? Yes, he was. Was Abraham obliged to obey? Yes, he was. Did he obey? Yes, he did. Was it hard? Yes, it was. But when he obeyed, God concretized and consolidated the covenant he had made with Abraham. Are you still following me? So no matter how hard it appears, and I sense in my heart that there are those of you this morning, there are hard instructions that God has given you. They are hard. You have consulted with many people and they have told you, do you think you really are going to do that? No matter what they think, as long as you are still connected with God, God is going to help you all the way. Somebody has said, God's beaconings are always God's enablings. God's beaconings are always God's enablings. Whenever God asks you to do something, it means he wants to release the grace for you to be able to do that particular thing. So God will help you as long as you say yes to what he has instructed you to do. I want to close in the next 7 minutes by sharing with you, how do we grow obedience in our lives? How do we enlarge that capacity of obedience in our lives? Number one, it begins by programming our minds. Programming our minds. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12 and verses 1 to 2. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then he says, do not be conformed to the standards of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the perfect and the permissive will of God. Everything begins here. When the mind says yes, the legs and the feet cannot say no. Should I say it again? When the mind says yes, the feet cannot say no. When you have it changed here, the entire body will follow. And that's why God wants us to change our minds with the Word of God. To read the Word of God. To meditate on the Word of God. To sing the Word of God. To look at the Word of God. As we do that, we are reprogramming our minds. And we are deleting any other program that is antagonistic to the purposes of God. That is contrary to the purposes of God. And as we change our minds, we are preparing ourselves to get to our next level of obedience. Somebody say amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8. That's why Paul comes across again and he says, you know what? Whatever is just, whatever is honest, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report, whatever is pure, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think you on these things. In other words, he says, set your mind on particular things and then the product of your lifestyle will be obedience unto God. Number two, another way we teach ourselves obedience is by denying our bodies. By denying our bodies. Go with me. Let's read a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 27. Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I put my body under control. I put my body under control. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be a people who learn how to master our bodies. These bodies have a way of going ahead of you. I said, these bodies have a way of going ahead of you. I told the people in the New Frontiers Church, and I told them, excuse me, I'm not black and I'm not short. And all of them laughed. And I said, what do you mean? This is what I mean. I am a spirit. That's right. I have a soul. Yeah. I live in the body. Yeah. This is just the casing, the packaging, the envelope in which I live. But I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in the body. Yeah. According to 1 Thessalonians. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Now, this is what I want to let you know. There are many instances and occasions when your body would desire to go ahead of you. And it says things like this. I want ice cream now. I want onion rings now. You know? Even before you think about it, you're already being driven by the body. God has not called you in a relationship of where the body drives you. What do? You need to master it. How do you master it? By denying it. How do we deny the body? By prayer. We lay the body on the altar as we pray and we spend time before the Lord. How do we deny it? By fasting. By fasting, refraining from food some days. How we deny it? By some fasts that are strange, they call them silence fastings. It was a habit that was done by the Moravians many, many years ago. They had times, weeks, where they just went into a camp and they just kept quiet. Why are they keeping quiet? They want to gain control over this tongue. This tongue has caused them many problems. To this day, this town causes us many problems. Problems with the telephone bills. Are you still hearing me? So if you want to reduce on that, you go on a silence fast and you just be quiet. So I'm talking nothing. I'm just going to keep on the turn on the worship music and listen to it and bring my body under subjection. Another way we learn obedience is by putting godly men and godly women around us. You need to put godly men and godly women around you. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 2 and verses number 20. Proverbs chapter 2 and verses number 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. He says that walk in the way of good men. Keep good men and good women around you. That's one way we learn obedience. What is in them rubs off on us. And it begins to influence us. Moses, Joshua had a Moses. Elisha had an Elijah. Their disciples had a Jesus. Timothy had a Paul. Put godly men and godly women around you. It is going to help you to obey God. In times of crisis, you see the way they respond. When your time of crisis comes, you respond the way they responded. You need these godly men and godly women around you. And if you are married, you need a godly couple or godly couples around you. Don't run your marriage all alone, because there are going to be things you cannot handle. But I think people who have gone ahead of you that can handle them even much more better. So as you surround your marriage with godly couples, it is going to be such a good influence in your life, and it's going to bring you to the next level of obedience. Another way we learn obedience, go with me please to Hebrews chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, reading verses number 7. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. How did Jesus learn obedience? By the things which he suffered. We learn obedience by the things we suffer. When God takes us through some trials, he's giving us an opportunity to learn obedience. The trials we go through in life have three main sources. Source number one is the rhythms of life. Bible teaches in Romans chapter 8 that this entire world is groaning, is moaning, is crying. Since Adam sinned, the world has never been the same again. Wake up and smell the coffee. This is not paradise. It's not going to be easy for us. We are not living on a red carpet or silver plate kind of scenario. The world is mourning. That's why we have the floods. That's why we have the negative things. That's why bad things here happen to good people. When we cross over, it's going to be different. But at times, some of the attacks we have in our lives is because we are living in a fallen world. When you are on the sea, there's no way you are not going to shake. Even when you say, for me, I'm upright, I'm prayed up, I'm anointed, I will not shake. When the waves come, you shake along with them. We are in this kind of world that is fallen. It causes some stuff to happen to our lives. Another source of attack is the enemy himself. Go and read Job 1. Every attack that comes in the life of Job is from the enemy. Actually, in Luke 22, Jesus tells Peter, I've seen the devil desiring to sift you as wheat, but what have I done? I prayed for you, that your faith may be encouraged. After you are steadfast, encourage your brethren. The devil at times attacks us. At times he attacks our marriages. And many times you're so quick to blame the husband or the wife. There's no problem with your wife. There's no problem with your husband. It's the devil. He doesn't want you to unite. He doesn't want you to agree. And some of the attacks come from the enemy. The other source of attack is God himself. Deuteronomy chapter 8 teaches that I tested you and I gave you food that you did not know anything about. Chapter 8 and verses 2 to 3, that I may prove whether you are committed to obeying my voice. And as God is raising you to another level, there are going to be those tests that come in your life. But listen, storms are refineries. Storms are refineries. Circumstances expose what is on the inside of us. I've told the people again and again that what comes out of you when you are squeezed is who you are. What comes out of you when you're squeezed is who you are. You squeeze a mango, you get mango juice. You squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. What comes out of you is who you are. But you see, when it's exposed, God gives you an opportunity to change. In problems, you are left with only God's help. But then God can only help us on His terms. There are times when God has come to us and we are drowning in a sea. And He has thrown to us a red rope. And He said, no, for me, I want a green one. I want a green one. And God says, okay, drown some more. All I have is a red rope. When you have drawn a lot more, then you grab the red rope. And say, yeah, I have to save you on my terms. So God saves us on His terms when we call upon Him in times of tragedies. But this also enables us to learn obedience. How do we learn obedience? Number five, by feeding our faith. The more fear you have in you and the less faith you have in you, the less obedient you are. The more faith you have in you and the less fear you have in you, the more obedient you are. We learn obedience by feeding our faith. Lastly, how do we learn obedience? We learn obedience by learning to hear the voice of God. Learning to hear the voice of God. There's a scripture I want you to write down lastly. It's in Psalm 89 and verses 15. The King James says, blessed is a man who knows your joyful sound. He shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Blessed is a man who knows your joyful sound. That means we need to come to that place of knowing the voice of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very hard to obey somebody you don't understand. It's very hard to obey somebody whose voice you don't hear. No matter how willing you are, you can't obey somebody whose voice you don't hear. And churches all around the world, believers all around the world, they have relegated that aspect of hearing the voice of God to their pastors, to their prophets, to their other believers around them. And they say, for me, I'm not in that game of hearing the voice of God. Well, there's no way you're going to learn obedience unless you know how to hear the voice of God. You need to train your ear to hear. You need to train your heart to hear and to perceive the voice of God. Look around you all the time, all the day God is talking. The moment you wake out of your bed, God begins to talk. He talks to your heart. He talks through the things you see. He talks through the television. God is always talking. When you come to church, God is always talking. But as you open up your heart and you incline your heart to hear the voice of God, you're going to be able to pick the signals that come from heaven. You're going to begin to download stuff that comes from the kingdom of God. And as you commit yourself to hearing the voice of God and implementing and obeying the voice of God all the way, obedience is going to be very easy in your life. Slap your chest, everybody, and close your eyes, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the preaching of your word. We thank you for the things that you have illuminated in our minds and in our lives. Therefore, I ask that you pull us to this next level of obedience. I pray over different people here who have been hearing you in different aspects of their lives. There are things you've placed in their hearts as dreams, as visions, as instructions, and they're well aware of. And Father, they have not yet taken that step of obedience. To them it has been procrastination all the time. But Lord, let this morning release an empowerment for them to take that step. Perform a miracle and pull us to that level of obedience. I thank you, Lord.